Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I know if I write something really critical, I'm back in there next day, and I will see that person face-to-face. So I better write responsibly. That doesn't mean pull punches.
No.
But that means what you write needs to be well-supported, and it shouldn't be something that you'd have a problem saying to that person's face.
Jason Leisure.
In today's game, no complaints. What was it like for you to have your vision, everything that you've been trying to get engineered here, materialize on the field?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, the first 2 weeks have not gone the way we wanted to. And, you know, it's early, and but we got to get the issues fixed. And I thought the guys were committed to that here this week. And we had a good week of preparation, and they came out and they played inspired football today. And so good things happen when you're playing hard, you're playing physical, and you're playing for the guy next to you. And I thought that's what happened here today.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Jason Leisure is sponsored by Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. It's also brought to you by Plumbers 911, plumbing emergency call. The plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And he joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. We're going to be at Circa this week, and it's going to be glorious. And we've told Jason that if he wants to stop by the cabana, he is more than welcome, because apparently we are going to have it Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, we are. Whenever we need it. Hold up in my cabana, living on bananas and blow. That's how it's going to be.
Circa Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
You're well.
.com.
I was hoping for a much more low-key cabana, like maybe a good book. Or go ahead, Lawrence, if you need to finish the live read. I'm sorry, I just was really thrown out. That was a jarring.
That's what he does.
It's just a lyric. Just a lyric. That's all. And
that's
not
all?
Not an ice cube one.
Oh, that's what everybody says when they get caught.
It is what everyone says when they get caught. What stood out to you as you covered that locker room, as you're up at Halas Hall right now? What stood out to you about what happened yesterday?
Man, a lot. I think since you mentioned the locker room, I'll say first just Ben Johnson's disposition after that game. We didn't know what had gone on in the locker room at the time where we got him in the post-game press conference. And I'm sitting there at a post-game press conference, and he gets lobbed this softball about what does it mean to have your first win as a head coach? And it's like he hadn't heard that they won. He's like, yeah, we're 1-2. We got to get back to 500. He started saying something nice about it, and then it was like he cut his own self off and got back to business.
And to be clear, Jason, he had already celebrated with the team. The stuff that we've already heard had already happened before he comes out and talks to you. Okay, go ahead.
Right, but we didn't know. And then you see that later, and he starts out the locker room speech with just this scream. I mean, just at max volume, and I don't know, man. I know they didn't hear that from Matt Eberflus. I don't know when is the last Bears coach where you would have heard that in a locker room. But even then, you know, if you watch that video to the end of him talking to the team in the locker room afterwards, even then he kind of gets back at the end. He gets back to moving ahead and improving, and I think he is just we're learning Ben Johnson. The media is, the players are, the public is. I think he is just ultra serious. I don't think there is a lot of laughing and celebrating. I don't think there's a lot of joking around. I think he is just an extremely serious person. And you saw that yesterday, even as he gets his first win.
But there does seem to be levels of like the emotional connection he's got with this team already. You know, there's like him saying he was proud of Caleb for handling everything clean in the huddle, you know? He coaches them hard, but then he gives them some love too. They seem genuinely happy for him. He admits he's wrong. Like, it seems to be like a real dude, you know? Like a real genuine person who's got relationships with the team, Jason. Do you see that?
Yeah, that's what he's trying to do, and I'm sure that's what he did in Detroit. I actually talked to Ben Johnson about this last month leading up to the season. And one of my questions to him was, because we all agree, we all have seen, he is coaching them harder than they've been coached before, especially Caleb Williams, who he works with the most. he's coaching them a lot harder. My question was, how do you coach everybody like that all the time and not have everybody hate working with you? And he said that the key is that these guys got to know that you care about what they care about. And that it's only about, he said, the entire reason he coaches is to bring the best version of these guys out of themselves. And you saw yesterday the best version of Caleb Williams. There's no way Caleb Williams can look at that game and come to any other conclusion than all of this hard coaching that this guy's been giving me, which at times Caleb has not enjoyed. Caleb has said that. Caleb has said he has gotten into it with Ben Johnson at times, and then they talk through it, and he's like, and he sees what Ben's getting at. There's no way he comes to any other conclusion yesterday, Caleb Williams, than all of that hard coaching has been totally worth it if I'm going to play like that.
Let's talk more about Caleb, because you told us that you had five observations that what aren't statistically based in what we're seeing with the Bears quarterback.
Yeah, because you can play well and not put up the numbers he put up yesterday. I mean, those numbers are there against a really bad Dallas defense, and the Raiders are not much better this coming week. It's going to be hard to average numbers like that as you play better defenses and as you continue to play every week. But there are so many things, there are subtleties about the way that Caleb Williams played yesterday that will translate to good performance against anybody if he can keep doing those things. And the number one was the thing that Ben Johnson has been talking about constantly is his footwork. If you watch the tape, his feet are pointed at where he wants to throw. They're pointed at the target. He has really good footwork yesterday, and sure enough, pretty accurate day throwing the ball. Completed 68% of his passes, and everything looked like it was kind of in rhythm, in stride. No pre-snap penalties. You keep doing that. You keep having everything organized and no cadence issues or anything like that. That's going to translate against anybody. And another thing that Ben Johnson has been on him, and Lawrence, I heard you mention this last week, and I completely agreed with you. You guys heard Ben Johnson raving about Dak Prescott, who is 32 years old and already a franchise quarterback. He's a lot further along than Caleb Williams. But he was specifically raving about the way Dak uses his eyes to manipulate the defense, the coverage, in that Dak doesn't telegraph where it's going until the last second. And Caleb Williams did that. There was two plays that really stood out to me Sunday where Caleb Williams did that. He had a dump off to DeAndre Swift in the second quarter that DeAndre took 41 yards. And if you're watching that play,
big
Caleb
play.
Swift is to his left. Caleb is looking down the right side of the field the entire time until the last second he sends it left to Swift. At the time DeAndre Swift catches that ball, all 11 Dallas defenders are either in the middle of the field or the right side of the field. And DeAndre Swift is on the left side outside the numbers. Even if DeAndre Swift is not an all-world runner and athlete, that play is going for a minimum of 11 yards. Then he breaks a bunch of tackles and he ends up with 41 yards. The DJ Moore one, too, if you watch right before he throws to DJ Moore, he's looking at Swift in the right corner of the end zone, and there are three Dallas defenders there that all take a step towards Swift,
yep.
And then he throws back across his body to DJ Moore. That will translate. You won't necessarily have a 140 passer rating and 300 yards and four touchdowns every week, but if you keep doing those three things that Ben Johnson has been hammering to Caleb Williams, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't continue to thrive. The fourth thing would be Ben Johnson. I'll take his word for this because Ben Johnson has some credibility with me in this area where I will take his word for it because he has had no problem airing Caleb out for this in the past. He saw a much more authoritative player in the huddle, a guy who was much more on top of things and comfortable calling out plays. That leads to getting to the line faster. That leads to everybody being on the same page. And that feeds into one of my earlier points about no pre-snap penalties. The fifth one is not subtle. We all see it. We've all known it about this guy the entire time. Two throws stand out to me. One was the DJ Moore play that we just mentioned, throwing across his body on the run. The throw he makes on the Luther Burden flea flicker play, that is elite talent. That is undeniable, high end. Not every quarterback in the NFL can do that. I'm mesmerized when I watch the replay on that by the quick release that Caleb Williams has. He gets the pitch back, and it looks like a free throw, as DeAndre Swift said. that ball is in and out of his hands so fast. It looks like a robot. It looks like some futuristic pitching machine that just catches and throws. And it is a 62-yard pass through the air, the longest air yard completion in the NFL this season. And it is on a dime to Luther Burden. Just out so fast. And we all liked to laugh, not you guys and me necessarily, but everybody liked to have a good laugh at that Caleb Williams rapid release drill into the net back in August, but it sure looks like something that came in handy. It sure looked like it was a good thing that he was working on that, because we've all seen these Bears plays where something exactly like that happens, where it's a flea flicker and it's botched. I don't think it's DeAndre Swift's fault from what I can tell. It looked like he got hit by a lineman, kind of backed into him. It gets botched and it's either fumbled or the quarterback is sacked, and we never know what would have happened. We never know that it would have been the 65-yard completion to Luther Burden. It was Caleb Williams' incredible talent as a passer that made that play work, in addition to a very good play design by Ben Johnson, because you had Olamide Zaccheaus open in the intermediate range, and you had Cole Kmet open short range on top of Luther Burden being open down the field against one safety. And 10 out of 11 Dallas players were playing for the run at the time DeAndre Swift pitched that back. It was only Malik Hooker to cover all three of those guys.
Folks, that is Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times with 4 or 5 rock'em sock'em minutes of positive Caleb Williams takeaways that are not statistically based. That was great stuff, dude. You know, I'll add one throwback.
When you guys have your experts on, because you guys get all these great guests,
yeah,
you know, much smarter and better at this than I am.
You're right. That's
like
enough.
Kurt Warner and Bowen, like, check it with them. See if they see the same things.
I think Kurt actually did speak to all the things that you're talking about
with
the five keys, and we'll run it past Forte and we'll run it past Bowen tomorrow about some of this stuff. But yeah, I think you've given a pretty good assessment of what we saw. Even his ability to check at the line yesterday, I thought, like, I felt the idea of him, at least for yesterday, and I can't speak to how this is going to play out against the Raiders, but yesterday I felt like he was in complete command of what Ben wanted him to do.
It sure seemed like it. Game situation helped. Opponent helped.
No doubt.
All of those things helped. It was a wonderful day and all of that. And what's amazing is that I could look down my notes here and rattle off 5 really bad throws, like a wide receiver screen that he threw it
at his feet.
At his feet,
yeah.
Throws
backing up that he didn't make,
sure,
versus the throws backing up that he did.
It shows you how hard the position is and how voluminous the opportunities to be perfect are, and how you can get away with it when you make enough big plays, and he did. But just a massive step forward. I'll give you one more of the arm talent. After the deflected interception by Tremaine Edmonds, when everybody thought they were going to run, and instead it's a naked bootleg, and there's a man in Caleb's face immediately, and he makes an incredible throw to Roma Dunze off the back foot. You're like, how is he even getting that out there? And they picked up a first down.
Yep.
On a naked bootleg with a guy immediately in his face. He didn't scramble away. He trusted himself to make the throw. Like, there's a lot there to be excited about. And is it me, Jason, or did the middle of that offensive line hold up stronger so he could stay calm and confident right there in the middle of the pocket more often?
It helps. I mean, obviously you see on the stat sheet no sacks, but you also just aesthetically, you didn't see a lot of collapsing pockets. You didn't see him under duress a ton. I mean, you're playing a different game if you're Caleb Williams than the one you were playing last year.
When it comes to the defense of this team, because we haven't spent any time talking about it, and granted, CeeDee Lamb goes out early in the game, that changes the math of what the Cowboys' offense looks like. There were still struggles stopping the run, but seeing Tremaine Edmonds play, I have not seen him play that well since he wasn't a Bear. And to see him play that well was heartening, considering all the guys that are missing from the Bears' defense.
Yeah, and Tyreek Stevenson, same thing, where it was one of his best, if not his best game. I almost had an interception in addition to that strip on Dallas's first drive that changed everything for the game, I think. Yeah, again, like, you got to do it regularly. Roquan Smith does it regularly, and fair or unfair to Tremaine Edmonds, it's very fair to make that comparison if we're talking about the decision that Ryan Poles and the Bears made between the two guys. And same with Tyreek. Tyreek looked like a number one corner yesterday. There's games where Tyreek looks like he should sit a few plays out.
I love that in that moment when he makes the peanut punch, he's essentially saying, give me that beat, fool. It's a full-time Jack move. Chilly chill. Yo, homie, make the track move. I was very impressed with
that.
That's
what I read.
Very impressed.
Yeah, no.
Was that a punch? I mean, he just ripped it out of his hand.
That's the beautiful thing about it.
It started as a punch.
And then he's like, oh, I can, as he's following through on the punch, he's like, I could just take it.
Yeah. So part of the legacy of the punch is that it puts your hand right there near the ball if you miss.
Well, and I mean, like, that was one of the things that Charles would always talk about, is like, there were a couple different ways that you could approach taking it. And the fact that you could turn the punch into a rip is the other thing they used to talk about. I thought it was impressive, and it was an amazing, amazing play by Tyreek Stevenson. Good redemption for him.
Yeah, he had a bunch of passes deflected, had a near interception as well, like you mentioned. Some snap count observations on defense I want to ask you guys about. Dio Odengbo's lowest snap percentage of the three games, by a lot, went from 80% down to 61%. Montez Sweat's lowest sack percentage, 77% in week one, 66% in week two, only 58% yesterday. More Dominique Robinson, more Tona Passignon. Those guys jumped considerably. Daniel Hardy got his first 13 snaps of the season on defense. So what are we to make of the expanded rotation at defensive end? Jason Leisure, your thoughts?
Well, especially with Daniel Hardy, he was out there as a fifth defensive lineman a few times, which is which was something we saw in the preseason, but it was usually with an extra defensive tackle, not an extra pass rusher. And that is Dennis Allen being a problem solver, which I think is just the ultimate necessary skill in this profession, whether you are the personnel department, the coaching staff, or the players. It's problem solving. It's not getting everything perfect. It's solving the problems and challenges that you face. You have deficiencies. Every team has deficiencies. How do you work around them? And Dennis Allen had trouble, didn't have an answer for that the first 2 weeks. And yeah, it helps that CeeDee Lamb wasn't out there, but Jalen Johnson, TJ Edwards, Kyler Gordon aren't out there. I mean, there's a lot of problems that Dennis Allen had to solve for yesterday, and he did.
You think Montez Sweat functions better with a lower snap percentage, Lawrence?
Boy, probably, but he can't. That can't be true. That can't end up being the answer. Not for $100 million. The conclusion we arrive at.
I don't know.
Jason, as always, we appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.